We're back. Welcome to episode 13 of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Today on the podcast, we're talking about POE lighting systems. What's POE? Well, you're going to find out real soon because Wendell Strong, the POE lighting manager for Genesis Lighting Systems, came on the show and we spoke to him a little bit about it, the future of POE, how it's going to fit into the whole lighting mix and so on. Wendell's also given a talk at the upcoming NAILD convention. That's National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors convention in Rancho Mirage, California. I think that's like right in Palm Springs, but maybe outside of it. It's at the Westin Mission Hills, really swanky hotel. All us NAILD members are going to get together and we're going to talk about light bulbs all day, baby. Go to NAILD.org. That's NAILD.org. Click on the events and then there's more information there if you want to come, join the association, all that kind of stuff. Wendell's given a talk called Demystifying POE Lighting. So he's going to tell us all about how networking equipment can be really useful in lighting, new lighting installations. And he talked about it on the podcast too, so you're about to hear more about it. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Oh, I can't wait to tell you about this. They're coming out with their new Sign Hero 360-degree LED sign tube replacements. That's right. Now, Josh gave me a sneak peek of this back a couple months ago, and I was really excited by it. I know I'm going to sell a lot of these to my customers. They got all the sizes, all the HO sizes. They got the HO ends. All you do is disconnect that ballast, slam the line voltage into the HO sockets, and your sign's retrofitted. Got LED, 50-60% energy savings. Available, I'm going to read it right here, available for all size sign cabinets. The 360-degree LED sign tube is available in all of the lamp links, typically used to replace T8HO and T12HO fluorescent lamps. Come on, baby. KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. This is one of the most exciting innovations in the LED tube market I've seen in a while. Also, when you go to Keystone Tech, they got all sorts of other great stuff there too. So KeystoneTech.com. Without further ado, I give you Wendell Strong talking POE lighting on episode 13 of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Wendell.
Well, thank you. It's my honor to be here.
My co-host is Greg Eric. Say hi to him.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Good, Wendell. How are you?
I'm doing perfect.
Wendell, I got to ask you, what the heck is POE?
Great question. Yeah. POE stands for Power Over Ethernet. And fundamentally, what we're talking about is running LED lighting systems off networking gear made by companies like Cisco and not building out an electrical infrastructure and basically getting a 1% granularity on all individual addressable components.
What's 1% granularity mean?
It means we have an incredible level of control almost at a DNA level because it's kind of built into the network. So there's a lot of terms for POE lighting. Some of it's IP-based lighting, some of it's networked lighting. But again, what's happening is we're using a category cable with RJ45 jacks to power and communicate with endpoints. And what that 1% granularity of control means, I get 1% control of power, 1% control of dimming, color tuning, daylight harvesting, all of those features outperform at that point an AC equivalency. So that's what granularity means.
Now you need to have, you're going to need to have specific type of fixtures with this, I assume. They need to ability to color tune and all that.
Oh, well, of course, you can't make standard LED fixtures do what those diodes aren't designed to do. But to answer your question more directly, we're very similar to our AC cousins, if you will, as far as POE lighting fixtures go, but we don't have an AC-DC driver inside the fixture. So we have the naked array, which makes it low voltage direct current at the array. And it is that characteristic of LED that really brings the very best from the lighting world to the very best of the networking world, because LEDs don't mind being controlled at all. They're actually about the only lighting technology we've ever had that doesn't have some negative aspect to control.
So are there any issues with electrical codes, with amperage going over these cables? Like, is the measurement of consumption still in watts?
Yeah, I'm going to, you asked like three questions at one time, so I'm going to go backwards and try and answer it the best I can. So there are standards in the networking world that we follow, okay, IEEE standards. And so we use something called UPOE power, and I know this is foreign to the lighting world, but networking is a solid half of all of this. And UPOE power was created by Cisco as a pre-standard years ago, and has POE as a power source has been around since about 2003, I believe. So there are mature standards out there that dictate how much we can run and that it's safe. The other very safe element of it is a standard RJ45 jack, where historically we would have wire nuts. It's really hard to get in contact with live power when we have a network cabling infrastructure supporting the lighting, which means you and I can get up on a ladder, unplug a fixture, move it to a new location, and plug it back in. It is that safe.
But so there's no load issues over these cables? There's no issues with amperage or anything like that?
It's all being managed by the networking gear. So again, these standards dictate how long of runs we can do. So a limitation of POE lighting today from a central closet like a normal network would build out would be 100 meters. So there's one of those standards right there. And then the networking gear is already managing the voltage drop and everything else. So no, even if we get in direct contact with the power, it's not enough to harm you, but it's really hard to do that. One of the things we do with our lighting system is we'll unplug a fixture and drop that cable directly into a goldfish bowl. And needless to say, nothing happens to the goldfish. There's intelligence at the networking ports. They shut down far faster than a mechanical breaker could even think of doing. So anytime there's an interruption in that cable, power just ceases instantly. So it's an extremely safe option, particularly compared to AC.
Now, this cable that you connect also, is it a different cable than what they currently have on their computer system? If it's an existing building, let's say.
An existing building, the standard is pretty much Category 5. Which is just RJ45 jacks, pretty standard everyday stuff. There are NEC and both the IEEE, or excuse me, ANSI have a standard for 24 gauge cable within that category cable. So most installations, both to meet that standard and to future-proof the building, are putting in Cat 6, because typically it's 24 or 23 gauge in Cat 6.
Can you design? Go ahead, Greg.
You guys can wrestle with each other.
We do.
Come on.
I can understand this being in a new building for sure, but looking at existing, we're trying to figure out, you know, how does that make sense in an existing building, and what does it all entail to get POE lighting?
Well, and it's good to explain the difference between those two applications. So in an existing building, a building coming up out of the ground, a greenfield or a brown wall, a very deep retrofit where the electrical infrastructure is either not being built out or being abandoned in the secondary case, obviously there's a lot of cost offsets and all that to pay for the intelligence and the networking gear and all that type of thing. When we go into the retrofit world, if you will, and I hate that term, we try and call it the intelligent lighting upgrade because of increased capabilities, but the electrical infrastructure is not already there. I mean, it is, but we have to deal with it. In other words, we have to cap it properly with codes, and the full cost of the expense of the system is exposed with no trade-offs. So that means we're not in a metric that's anything even close to a two-year payback or anything like that, because every lighting control function known to man is built into this. And so ROIs can get out there a ways, but we get to draw on something from the networking world again. We get to look at something called lighting as a service, much like software as a service. And so now we can take that form of financing, do an operational cost comparison, project out that time period of guaranteed performance, and let's say it goes out 5, 6, 7 years maybe of operational savings. And then, of course, at the end of that term, Or, of course, that's got managed services all wrapped into it as well, oftentimes from an integrator or a networking person to keep that system up and running and draw the data out of the system and optimize it to the building and the space. So lighting as a service is the financial vehicle that will likely accomplish that going into a retrofit space or a retrofit opportunity.
Have you ever signed one of those contracts?
I have not.
Do you know anyone that has?
I do, but not as a lighting as a service contract, but typically more commonly as software as a service.
Have you ever had anyone sign a lighting as a service contract?
Not yet. We are working somewhat feverishly on that right now, as a matter of fact. We want to set up the partners to be able to be proactive in sales and not reactive and wait for new builds and guts of hospital wings and that type of thing. That's a long process. So accelerating the adoption of PoE is completely reliant upon, or speeding up anyhow, is reliant upon being able to proactively go and sell the features of PoE lighting technology. And it's going to take lighting as a service financing, in my opinion, to accomplish that.
Yeah, I've had three or four people come on this show and talk about lighting as a service, and no one signed a deal yet. And the other thing about lighting as a service that I don't see how it benefits the end user at all. Can you give me some, like, how would you come, like, other than saying you don't have to pay right away? Okay, I get it. It's finance, but we can finance anything. Okay, you can finance a traditional lighting retrofit, and it's, instead of having 7 years of financing, you have 2 years of financing. Okay, and you can guarantee.
Great point.
You can have warranties and all this sort of stuff. So no one has been able to come on this show and tell me why the end user would ever want lighting as a service.
I appreciate your challenge, and it's appropriate to do that. I think there's some points being missed here. And one of the points are, A, there is an operational savings. If there isn't an operational savings, it makes no sense, none, zero. So either we're going to cash flow that business, yes or no, and that's the end of the conversation. But if that answer is yes, now we have compelling things to talk about, because we're used to just peddling energy savings. And that certainly isn't what the world of PoE lighting opens up. Okay, PoE lighting now opens up things like an improved productivity of employees, a sense of wellness through white light color tuning, daylight rhythm, our form of circadian rhythm, if you will, those types of things. So we're going to try and affect every aspect of the enterprise. We're going to try and affect that 1% cost that's typically the cost of the utilities of the building. We're going to try and affect that 9% cost of that enterprise, that's the occupying the building type of deal. And we're certainly going to try and address that remaining percentage that is the cost of the human capital in that building. So we want to affect, and PoE is an effective delivery system for that we're already seeing. So that's what it's really about. It's about those extra gains you get across the enterprise, not just that 1% of the enterprise that's based on utilities.
Well, you know, I think no one has shown me any hardcore proof that there are any productivity gains to human-centric lighting. It's been a lot of talk. I've had different people come on the show, tell me, different people have brought it up. There's been conversations. Some of the podcasts haven't been released because I didn't feel like anything worthwhile was said about it. Sure. So I haven't seen any evidence whatsoever, and I'm open to it. I'm not against it, but no one has shown me any hard evidence that they have any type of understanding of how to create a lighting system which is more productive. Do you have any evidence to this?
I'm going to say no, just like everyone else has, other than the common evidence that we've been acquiring across years. Okay, the general evidence that we know that there's a tie. Now, here's the interesting point. I really don't need metrics. And this is where skeptical people like you really kind of sit back in your chair and say, well, what do you mean you don't need metrics? And here's the point. If the lighting control system is all being paid for on the hard cost side of the equation, and I'm able to deliver things like white light color tuning and daylight rhythm into that equation at little to no cost, because it's far less expensive to do it in the world of PoE lighting. And not only that, I can totally outperform AC systems in their attempts to do the same thing. Then what does the metric really matter anymore? Now, here's the deal. We're a software-based system, and the interesting thing about our software is we want people to touch it, and we want them to touch it often, because typically when they touch it often, and I'm talking about the end user in particular, two things are going to happen. We're going to have a tendency to save energy because they're going to tend to customize the space to their liking, and that typically involves some form of dimming. Okay, so we're going to get some energy savings there. But we also have that granularity of control over color. And so things like daylight rhythm actually are energy saving protocols. But something else happens. We also tend to extend the life of the LED endpoints because we're under operating those boards as well. We have very clean power coming to the system. And so now if I'm going to save energy by interacting with the software, and we're going to extend the life of the endpoints, and now there's a shot at productivity at the same time, that's why we want people to have that type of control.
I like the way you put that.
Well, I appreciate that because...
I think that was a fair answer because, you know, I mean, I don't want to be critical, but, you know, a lot of pundits want to talk... Like, I don't know what Genesis does, but I actually stand in front of the end user and sell them something. Okay, which is different. A lot of people don't do that talk about the health effects of lighting.
Oh, big time correct on that. As a matter of fact, even the pundits that get up on stage and talk about PoE lighting as a technology, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a strong 90% of them have never lived under a PoE lighting system, have never commissioned one, and have actually just never interacted with one at all.
And maybe never sold a light bulb to anybody in their life.
And that's much more likely, actually. So with my 34 years of commercial lighting experience, now you know why I get a little jazzed up. I came into the days of incandescent to incandescent retrofits prior to the PL7, all that type of stuff. And now I get to be at the tip of the spear of PoE lighting technology, and quite frankly, having an opportunity to fundamentally change the industry I'm from. Because the one thing we haven't talked about today, and I know there's a lot of vision casting about this, but I want to get this point across, and that is the intelligent building. The intelligent building does not happen without an intelligent lighting system. As a matter of fact, if you're going to get to the intelligent building, you must come through the lighting system. And two very simple reasons. One is greatest density of components of any system within the building. It's also the greatest level of human interaction within the building. So at that point,
it's the heart of the interior design, for sure.
If it doesn't work for lighting, it will not work for the intelligent building. Now, here's the interesting thing. Power over Ethernet does work for it. I'll give you an example. We put temperature sensors inside our multifunction sensors and inside our wall switches. Obviously, I don't need that information for the lighting system, but this is information, that a density of information that I can give the HVAC people. Typically, you look at a cube farm in a large room, there's a single thermostat on the wall. If I've got 6 or 8 sensors in that ceiling, a couple of wall switches, all taking temperature readings, do you think the HVAC people might be able to leverage that density of data? Do you think at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if they have dampers, they may have noticed everyone went to the other side of the room for whatever reason?
Hang on. You're making the switches, the sensors, the fixtures, and everything.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Absolutely. We are the manufacturer.
So one of the key points you said, Wendell, is that you want them to touch the system. And I'm going to use myself as an example. I have a lighting control system here, Nlight, 5 years old or so. We put it in, and the last time I looked at it was 5 years ago.
So. Yeah, and exactly forgive right. And forgive my words, but I call that legacy lighting control. And that's the point. You put it in to do a finite job, and it's doing that finite job. Now we can
or
put
not,
in that.
Or not. Or not doing anything.
Yeah, that's true. And at least you haven't disabled it because it's in the way of the functionality of the space. But anyhow, the thing that we get to is dynamic interaction into the space. Those private offices, those meeting rooms, the boardrooms, the automation, all those things, they're all, we can make everything right on the network, is the long and the short of it. There's a building in Charlotte that is basically completed. I can't announce who it is, but I will talk about it in my presentation. And this is where a group of POE lighting people all are in that building all at one time. So there's four or five of us actually that have product in that building. And we'll see white papers come off of it. And it is built to be a highly intelligent building. It's advertised as the first pre-POE engineered building in the United States. So we are starting to see the enough of these build outs occurring with enough maturity that we'll be able to talk about data here soon.
Now, who do you see as the ideal customer for a POE system at this point?
The ideal customer, is still the new build. Because it, when we can make that presentation of CapEx neutral or below, and the odds of it being below are pretty good if that competing light system even has a sensor on it at that point. And of course, we all know what the drivers are to greater energy control going on, and Title 24 and all the energy codes, some even local, are getting tighter. Those are what literally buoy POE lighting, just because we do it so well and less expensively at the same time. So that greenfield today is still the key component until we figure out how to attack that existing space with a literally a strong proposition.
Now that's going to have to come at some point. I think about that a lot, is a lot of the lighting mm-hmm. systems that have been out there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we just keep retrofitting the same fixtures over and over. At what point right. are we going to say, let's start over and let's make this lighting system how it would be if it was a new building?
I don't know. When the energy costs go up by five times,
so let's that's when raise well, the energy costs.
Hopefully intelligence says that we can do it before then. You know, it's interesting. We react
intelligence
to costs.
Intelligence would say, I want to preserve my capital and spend it on something other than light bulbs and lighting systems. You know, I don't think I think that's an industry bias. I think there's, let me ask you something. From a distributor perspective, that building in South Carolina, you said it was South Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say, who's that nailed guys down in South Carolina? You're Illuminating Technologies. We're going to give a shout out to
sure.
Blake and
Gordon. Other guy, North
Gordon.
Carolina. North Carolina.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was all one place. Okay. I'm Canadian, by the way. So
the Carolinas.
The Carolinas, right? And so they get a call from, you know, the NSA head office or whoever did this down in South Carolina, or, you know, FBI or whoever the heck it is.
Non-governmental.
Oh, it's not okay. So it's you know, whatever, whoever it is. They get a call and they say, I need to buy my light fixture is out. It's burned out and I need to replace it. Let's say it's 4 years down the road or 3 or 5 years mm-hmm. down the road. Your warranty's over, whatever it is, or your lighting as a service contract has come to an end. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they didn't renew with you. Okay. And they want to replace that fixture. Do they have to buy a Genesis light fixture, or is there going to be other options?
Well, 4 years down the road, there may be other options. Today, we're our own solution. So, and understand, every
there's no standard
POE
protocol.
System,
there's no standard protocol on POE in terms of integration with software.
I'm gonna ignore your question for a moment, and I'm gonna answer the general question and not that specific little dive you took there at the end. Every system has some degree of proprietary element built into it. And if it's nowhere else, it is the software. But right now, no, there isn't the here's your off-the-shelf POE lighting fixture that can work for anything. So today, everybody is some form of proprietary. There's also different ways of deploying POE, fixture-centric, where the power device, a networking term, is the lighting fixture, or node-centric, where the power device is our IntelliDrive. So right there, you're seeing a differentiation.
I think that's the single biggest barrier to adoption.
I don't. And And I understand that because you don't know that this isn't a Sony Betamax versus VHS scenario. This is just where is the powered device. So you'll actually see hybrid installations are doing both because both make sense. Node-centric is designed to run as many devices as possible off of a powered port. Okay, that's its advantage. And it does that very, very well right now. We can run up to 9 devices off of a single IntelliDrive on a powered port. As opposed to fixture-centric, which says I'm going to put all of the intelligence in one place and I'm going to have one cable running all the way back to a port. So those are two extreme worlds that blend very well.
So you're talking about you can't daisy chain.
The same.
So hang on.
You can daisy chain.
With the node system.
Yes.
But not with the other one. The other one, you have to have one Cat 5 or Cat 6 cable all the way back to some router or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I won't speak to everyone's system because even with fixture-centric, they may be able to jump to a slave. Okay? Okay. That I haven't seen yet, but we've seen that previously in legacy stuff. So maybe they can do that. But typically, it's a fixture-to-home run scenario. In our scenario, we're going to drop off up to 3 different controls off of dedicated control ports. We are going to daisy chain fixtures that are below the maximum power draw of powered ports at our IntelliDrive. And so, you know, that's a huge thing right there. If I can run up to 6 recessed CAN lights and 3 different controls off of one IntelliDrive and then have them be individually addressable by zones or whatever, that's pretty powerful stuff. There's no question about it. I've seen what this can do. You know, in the world of PoE lighting, we all have an AC mentality, and lighting guys are really bad at it because it's the world we live in and it's hard to break. But understand, we're talking about a light switch running an entire building or having 25 light switches in one room all syncing up with each other. See, so when I talk about individually addressable devices, there's a very simple element there compared to AC where we need a 3-way switch or we need this type of switch or whatever. That networking component with node-centric design and the level of control we're talking about is definitely in a strong advantageous position right now. And so most of the installations we see have node-centric within them somewhere. So
have you
now obviously, go ahead, please.
Nope. Have you implemented your entire system in an existing building at this point? I know you've done new buildings, but any existing buildings?
We have, and actually a lot of them, but not held to the metric of a retrofit. They were held to the metric of a proof of concept system. And quite frankly, it's the majority of the ones that we've done. So out of roughly 100 projects that we've done, and it may be 100 at this point, I really need to stop and count because I know we were close a month ago and I know we've been shipping. So I probably need to look. A lot of those, probably, I'm going to say 75% of them were proof of concept systems. And some were very, very small, the boardroom and all
that
type of thing.
What is proof of concept? Explain that to the listeners.
Perfect. That's where people want to see PoE lighting in action. Okay. They're early adopters.
Are they paying for it?
They are from us. I don't know from others, but yes, we definitely charge for our stuff. But they go ahead and install it in a boardroom or some other area where they can leverage the benefits of it, see it in action, and all that type of stuff. To very, very large proof of concepts, the first 2 floors of a Fairfield Inn coming up out of the ground in Boston. So no financial metrics held to those. They just did it because they wanted to see what this stuff does. And so we're coming off of the bleeding edge. We're in the later early adopter phase right now, and I feel as if 2018 to 2019 is where PoE actually accelerates far faster than we have been. And that's not hyperbole. I truly believe this because I know the synergies that are building coming together.
Are you a publicly traded company?
No, we're a privately held company.
Are you a startup?
Well, Great question. Glad you asked it. We're a 25-year-old LED lighting company that also has silos of injection molding and other things in our background. And yes, Genesis has the feel of a startup company within a 25-year-old company. That's the way the Genesis team operates. Genesis is a brand, a branded product or technology of innovative lighting. So innovative lighting is 25 years old. We've been on the Inc. 500 list 5 times, I believe.
You're a division or a profit center of innovative lighting?
We're a brand of innovative lighting.
Have you made them any money yet? If you don't mind me asking.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not yet.
I wasn't sure if you were going to answer that question, but I'll just
tell you. The founder put the money in for the research and development in late 2012. And we've done a good job of consuming money ever since, but sales are increasing. It's like any other new technology, to be quite honest.
Is there a rough price per square foot you guys quote out? Because that's what when I looked at these systems in the past, that's how it used to be, but they don't go by that. Okay.
No, because our metrics are too sloppy at this point, to be quite honest. Sure. And so we still have some maturity problems. And one of them is we need installing dealers to do multiple jobs before they start dropping their protectionism out. Because anybody that's putting in a PoE lighting system for the first time is going to build in protection because it's their first time. They don't fully understand it. So we just need those curves to go 3 and 4 installations out, and then we get a lot better feel. And just to answer the question that hasn't been asked, who installs these systems? And this is the interesting part for the lighting industry. Yes, we see union electricians installing these network systems and doing a very good job and doing it competitively. But right now we see far more people from the networking industry, the integrators installing these systems. And so
that's all we need.
Part of my talk to the lighting industry.
All we need is more participants, Wendell. We don't want any more people in this industry than we already have. Enough.
Well, what you want and what you're going to get are going to be two different things. And fortunately, we're all big boys and we can deal with that. But I want to refocus your statement, though. You do want the people doing the installation to be skilled in networking.
Yeah, the camera guys and the security guys, the security guys, they're going to be the ones best positioned to capture a PoE installs. They're going to know how to do it. It's basically the same thing as like doing doing cameras and networking cables, and electricians do that stuff, but there's also non-electrical companies that specialize in doing that kind of thing.
True, but to be successful, it's still a lighting product. That's the problem. It's PoE lighting. Okay. So that tells you where it falls. So the lighting industry also needs to take ownership of a lighting product, obviously. And I don't mean for that to sound the way it does. But if this is our best opportunity to bring higher quality, more efficient, more productive lighting to the industry, obviously we need to be part of it.
Now, is there any issue if there was a power outage to a PoE system with the lighting?
No, we've handled almost all of those issues through the formative years. So there's two things we worry about. We worry about a loss of AC power. That's always an issue, whether it's an AC lighting system or our system. All this networking gear is plugged into AC, and obviously it goes down. And then there's loss of control. So that's what happens when the control system that's online. Let's say if we don't take precautions, there's an AC blip. The appliance that the software is on suddenly decides it's going to restart, and Windows Updates fires up, or Windows Updates takes it down. So we have the best practices that say, hey, you know what? Turn those things off, first of all, and do them manually. By the way, put a small UPS behind the controller so that stuff just doesn't happen. So that way we you know, we always think, well, if we have a loss of control, the lights stay in the same state they were in before it happened, right? And so we unfortunately assume the lights were on. Well, in some areas, they're going to be off, like the bathrooms, things like that. So one of the protocols we can put into our system is to say, hey, little IntelliDrive, after whatever you decide as the owner or the integrator, after X amount of time that the control system hasn't talked to you, exercise a protocol that says turn on all the lights to 15% in all the areas that are not currently lit. So that way we actually enhance those types of things.
I think you're, you know, Wendell, I'm going to make a little comparison here.
To me and Albert Einstein?
No, to you. No, okay. No, sorry, Wendell. Maybe Wayne Gretzky? No.
Okay.
I'm going to say like more like Jacques Cartier or Christopher Columbus, in that I think in the POE side, you just landed on Hispaniola and you guys still have a long way to go before there's mass adoption. Like, you guys are just like, get out some machetes and see what the heck's going on here. You're still in the really exploratory phase. And I think it's interesting that they brought in a guy like you who's got years in distribution. I think that's a great choice, Wendell, to bring in a guy that's been selling light bulbs to people, to end users, for so long. Has that helped you in this job?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Particularly when talking to a portion of the industry, the networking world, that knows nothing about lighting or how to sell it. So they benefit from it, but it also helps when these dealers are trying to engage people and talk to them and work with the specification system and all that. So yes, that has been very good. And to my knowledge, I am probably the only person like me in the world of POE lighting. So
you are like Wayne Gretzky or Albert Einstein or something in your little sphere there, Wendell.
Hey, just as long as I've got an island no one cares about and I called it something else, I'm good.
Okay.
You know, Greg, you to your illustration.
Else? Sure. Greg, anything else?
No, I think that's good. Nice overview. Just you're going to be at the Nailed convention coming up as well.
Oh, I always forget about that. Hey, they're going to fire us, Greg.
Yes, we need a couple shameless plugs. Yeah, absolutely. And okay. And I'm going to challenge you guys, just so you know.
Challenge me?
I'm going to challenge you.
This is my show. I challenge you. Okay, so the Nailed convention's at the Westin Mission Hills in Rancho Mirage, February 13th to 16th. And Wendell, why don't you go ahead and plug your company there?
I think I've probably done a good enough job, but Genesis is certainly one of the most established brands out there right now in the world of POE lighting. Innovative Lighting is a privately held small company out of Iowa. I mean, this is corn-fed Iowa-bred technology, so we're pretty excited.
What's the website?
The website for Genesis is www.genesislighting.com, and Genesis is spelled oddly, G-E-N-I-S-Y-S. Intelligent System is the last four letters there. So,
okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Wendell.
Hey, it was fun, even with a Canadian.
Oh, there, he just gets it in thanks, at the Wendell. End, eh? Okay, thanks for coming on. Bye for now.
So long. Take care.
Yeah, thanks. Goodbye.
Keystone Technologies. I can't say enough about the Sign Hero 360-degree LED tube replacements. Come on, man. How many applications are there out there for that? You sick of using the LED tape and sticking it on there, and how are you going to fix it if it ever breaks in 5 or 10 years or whatever it is? You're crazy. Keystone's got all of the sizes that are typically used in signs, in T8HO and T12HO fluorescent lamps. They have them in LED. So you get the energy savings. You use the existing sockets, you disconnect the ballast and run that line voltage right into the sockets, and you're off to the races. Consistent lighting, 360 degree illumination without hotspots. Plastic and aluminum construction ensures less breakage. These things are gonna be hot. I had a sneak peek of them 3 months ago and I couldn't wait for them to come out so I could sell them to my customers. That's right, folks. I sell light bulbs every day. Also, Keystone's got all sorts of other great stuff. Go to KeystoneTech.com. They are a manufacturer who sells to distributors. So if you're a distributor, get on it. Thank you to Wendell Strong for coming on the show and talking POE lighting. It's an exciting time for that. and check him out at the upcoming Nailed Convention. If you want to meet Wendell Strong, talk to him personally about Genesis Lighting, you go to naild.org. That's nailed.org. And that convention is in Palm Springs, or more specifically, Rancho Mirage. Doesn't that sound great? Rancho Mirage. West in Mission Hills, February 13th to 16th. Thanks for listening, folks. Get a Grip on Lighting, episode 13. Bye for now.